7:46 at WGCL, and live on the telephone with us from Manhattan, the one and only Joe Smith, his third check-in this week from the city that never sleeps. And I bet you didn't sleep much last night either, did you?
No, I didn't. What is it? It's 7:46 or so?
Yep.
7:47 on the TikTok. No, early morning, early rise.
He's getting a nice little
sleep nap, if anything, here, didn't
sleep
you?
Sleep on the plane coming home.
Get out of there before that nor'easter settles in and gets things.
Actually, it's pretty calm here right now. It's not raining for a change.
Don't taunt it.
Buckets.
Yeah, it was. Airports had delays. They had plenty of lower-lying areas all around the boroughs that had problems.
Yeah.
But the problems Indiana faced, Joe, weren't with the weather, but they did weather a storm in the first half, and you showed a little bit of what this team was made of in a couple different senses. Just like when Tom Crean tells us, hey, this team can really shoot the basketball. Classic example, first half. Second half, Joe, that wasn't the case. It was kind of a tale of two halves, and I don't think anybody can argue Louisville was the better team. They win 94-74, but some things Indiana can take away in a pretty exciting basketball game.
I tell you, Glass, we think, you know, I can't monitor, obviously, when I'm on the road, but we think so much alike. And two stretches of basketball, or the tale of two halves, exactly what we had to deal with last night, Tuesday night, against fourth-ranked and unbeaten Louisville. One of them was decent, the other one not very good. So on a Wednesday, I thought I'd get the not very good out of the way first in dissecting that 20-point 94-74 loss in the 20th annual Jimmy V Classic at Madison Square Garden here in New York City. The not very good started after the Hoosiers put the strong and talented Cardinals down as trailers for a first time all season in the second half, 52-48, just inside the 17-minute mark. But senior guard Chris Jones scored 7 straight points. He, fellow guard Terry Rozier, and human wrecking ball Montrezl Harrell went to work for the Cardinals, and by the time I looked up, 6:27 to play. The Cardinals put together a 10-minute stretch and led 76-62. Game over. It was a 28-10 stretch of not very good basketball, as suggested Tuesday on the morning of the Hoosiers, as they are put together right now in early December. Too fragile to withstand what they got from that U of L trio Tuesday night. It's interesting to note the last time that IU gave up 20 or more second-chance points, they got beat. Eastern Washington had 20. Indiana surrendered 25 Tuesday night on 26 offensive rebounds, one more than Pittsburgh had, but Indiana won that game, holding Pitt to 36%. Not as fortunate last night. The Cardinals shot exactly what they've been averaging in this 8-0 getaway, 44%, but they did hit 48%. The second half, including 14 of 20, 70% from the free throw line, something not expected. But those free throws, the final 2.5 minutes, and there were 11 of them, only icing on the cake, adding to the final margin of victory. What did add in heavily was a 52-34 rebound margin, 48 points in the paint. That's the third time now that that number has been reached, and twice has cost Indiana victories. We talked about Rozier and Jones and their near double-double per game numbers pregame-wise here yesterday. I wasn't planning on the Redbird duo to both notch career highs. They hit Indiana with 50 and had 15 rebounds and 4 steals. But we did mention a decent stretch mixed in with the not-so-good, so we'll get to that a little bit later today on the morning after a 20-point loss to 4th-ranked U of L, very much deserving of that 4 next to its name, at least here in early December. Don't forget, In the Zone, Dave and Glass, and your phone calls tonight at 6.
Yeah, the tough part, Joe, was Indiana didn't take anything away from the starting 5. You had Blackshear get his average. You had Harrell get his by a couple. Then you had career highs from Jones and Rozier. So there was no place to frustrate Louisville in the sense of slowing them down. Indiana's 19 turnovers. Louisville forces 18.5 a game. That was average. Indiana only had 6 in the second half, but the damage was done. But I think the key number was the 3-point shooting. 7 of 10 in the first half. Indiana dodged 2 haymakers because they shot themselves out of it. In the second half, Joe, they only made 1 of 10, and you saw, then you take a game that was, well, close at halftime, nice comeback, and then Indiana has a lead, then they can't shoot it. They go 1 for 10. Well, that's a minus 18 in points right there, and, yeah, you lost by 20. So I'm not a big math guy, but Indiana has to find plan B when the jump shot doesn't go down. They tried taking the ball into the trees. Louisville had 8 blocks. I believe that was their season average as well. So Louisville just Louisvilled.
Yeah. Oh, they were, and they're even better than they look on TV when they're up close and personal.
Well, they look really fast.
Last night, they just,
tall,
at times, glass, it was men against boys.
It was.
I mean, I counted up, Harold hit 10 field goals last night, and
7
eight
dunks.
Of them were dunks.
Yeah. He set the new single-season Louisville record in dunks. ESPN shoved that down our throat for 2 hours last night. So,
oh, is that right?
We know that for you. Yes,
you know that now?
Oh, that's
okay.
The career.
Well, I thought
there
had to be an angle. Yeah.
The career dunks record. He's got like 167 dunks.
I think the
point about the dunks is he was getting looks that were really close to the basket, and Indiana didn't force him away from that. The zone, Joe, they couldn't rebound out of. Man-to-man, they had a hard time containing the person in front of them. And, you can't give a really good team how many extra offensive rebounds, how many rebounds, how many turnovers. Those extra possessions will just kill you in the end.
Well, it was 14 extra points on second chance points with those 25. And as I suggest, the last time we did that, you know, it was against East. It cost Indiana a victory there. But, too, we're not going to win a lot of games with Yogi Ferrell leading us and rebounding with 7. And we saw Troy Williams disappear again last night, 3 of 8 shooting, 1 rebound, and James Blackman pitiful in the second half his shooting. He was 0 of 6 from behind the line. We'll talk about
that. He had good looks.
They
just didn't go in. And the one thing you noticed late in that game, Joe, facing that pressure for the first 30 minutes or so, Indiana's legs, no one had any legs at the end of that game just because Louisville makes you play at a level you can't practice against. And
no, you
can't mock that.
That's a good point.
You can't get ready for that speed. You can put 7 guys on the court and play 7
no
against 5. In practice, but you cannot equal that speed. You cannot replicate that speed. So, again, Indiana sees where it lies. They've got to find, another plan when the jump shot's not falling. But you didn't see anybody cower away from it. That was good. Hannah Perea gave you a really nice start. I'm not sure why I took him out. The kid's never had any rhythm in his life. That's one thing we'll look at tonight in the zone. We'll get inside the matchups and some of the substitutions on that. He tried to buy some minutes here and there. And Louisville took advantage of it all. But the good news is you live and you learn. Indiana gave up 88 points to Eastern Washington, Joe. It shouldn't be any surprise they gave up 94 to Louisville.
No.
All right, we'll get together at 8:45. We'll go inside the numbers, take a look at some performances, some good, some bad. That's what happens when you get beat by 20 and everybody plays well. So
We did go on that nice stretch. We'll talk about the positives and some things we could take from a positive standpoint. You don't play the fourth-ranked team every week, so hopefully we'll store away some of the good with some of the bad and move on. I mean, it's December, whatever today is.
Wednesday, it is.
The 9th.
And that was the first trip outside of the friendly confines of the Assembly Hall, so that's the other thing that this team has to learn from. They're not going to get every whistle. They did have the crowd on their side last night, but that's not always going to be the case either. Pacers are in action tonight. They get the Clippers, Joe. Listen to this. They get the Clippers. They're 5th in the West. Then they get Toronto on Friday, north of the border. They're 1st in the East, and they come home on Saturday for Portland, who's 3rd in the West. Pacers have lost 5 straight entering tonight. They might not see a victory until next week. Michigan loses to Eastern Michigan.
How about that?
The Wolverines are going to go two things. They're going to be done, or they're going to regroup and be angry as whatever angry gets moving forward. Other scores, Arizona. Villanova beat Illinois in the game before yours. Wichita State, Iowa State, Notre Dame all ranked winners last night. And we're back with more at 8:45.
See you then, my friend.
Joe Smith joins us from New York City for the final time this week. But, Smitty, you'll be back here in just about 15 days.
Yeah, got to go back, let's see,
27th.
Saturday game?
Yes, it is.
Georgetown.
Christmas
right?
is Thursday, so I'm guessing you leave first thing Friday morning then, or Friday
We'll leave
lunchtime?
On Friday afternoon.
Oh, that's good.
We'll spend the night and then play at noon and then come back the same night.
That's a quicker turnaround than the 3-hour tour or whatever you're on this week, but it's fun.
Yeah.
A great cause, ESPN and the Jimmy V Classic, raising tons of money for cancer research. We should
just keep that suitcase packed.
Exactly right. Well, you probably want to refresh it.
Yes.
Oh, no, I'm going to unpack it. 3 days on the road is plenty for now.
But we'll
I got to get back,
back
in the realm of things here.
Jump right
mid-week.
Back in.
Midweek. It's midweek.
It's Wednesday.
We got to go see J.R. Holmes later today. We got to get basketball high school on the air tonight.
My goodness. You've got a day ahead of you, don't you?
It's the Antarctic game on
you
Friday.
Sleep on that plane.
Keep your compass pointed south, south and southport, 7 o'clock Chalk Talk Friday night.
Yeah.
7:30 tip-off, week number two of our high school broadcast schedule. You can find all those details at WGCLradio.com. The Hoosiers, Joe, left the friendly confines of the Assembly Hall for the first time in 2014-15 last night, taking on the fourth-ranked and deservedly so Louisville Cardinals at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. The Hoosiers learned a couple important lessons, Joe. Number one, that playing on the road is quite different than playing at home, and playing against really good teams, you have to do a lot of things really well. Indiana did have some flashes of brilliance, and they did struggle in some areas, and that's what happens when you get beat 94-74.
You know, some things to certainly take from last night's 20-point loss to the fourth-ranked Cardinals of Louisville. We gave you the not-so-good earlier today from here in New York City. The Hoosiers, 1 of 10, 3-point shooting in the second half. Cardinals, 26 offensive rebounds, good for 25 points. U of L, a +8 from the free-throw line. But the Hoosiers did show some poise over the final 4:17 of the opening half, down 13. Nick Zeitzloff rammed home back-to-back triples as the Hoosiers closed out on a 10-2 run to climb right back in at halftime, 46-41, and then actually move that ahead to 16-2 as James Blackman Jr.'s jumper gave Indiana its first lead since 9-6, and game on, right? Well, not exactly. Just inside the 17-minute mark, the separation began happening, and in a little over 10-minute stretch or so, the Cardinals grabbed a 14-point lead thanks to a 28-10 run and then used 11 free throws, 11 of the 20 that they shot in the second half, the final 2.5 minutes to seal the deal. Hunter Mascara Perea scored 8 of Indiana's first 13 Tuesday night. He played 13 minutes, but got his usual 2 fouls, and to the bench he went. But that third one kind of coincided with the Cardinals starting that 28-10 run. Hunter played only 7 minutes in the second half, scored the opening bucket of the second half, but that was going to be his night. The IU bench, which has put up some very solid numbers this season, scored only 4 points the second half and wound up on the evening with 18. Zeitzloff, whose triples ended what was a near 5-minute plus scoring drought from the field for IU the opening half, had 9 of his first half points and then played a scoreless 7 minutes in the second half. The Hoosiers shot 55% the opening half, 7 of 10 from behind the line, but just couldn't sustain that accuracy. Hit only 40% the second half and got outscored 48-33. No one, had led U of L in the second half of games this year until last night, but it was just a matter of too much of a lot of things. Too much strength and power inside, quickness. Cardinals had 8 blocks, 10 steals to go with that big 52 rebound number they put on the board. But at least at this point in time, 10 days into December and 9 games into the year, well, the Hoosiers had little answers, but they have a blueprint now to know what it takes to beat the cream of the crop. And Louisville certainly near the top. The Grand Canyon comes in Saturday at 5 for Indiana's next test. By the way, and I don't know how much of a test that'll be, but anyway, Dan Marley is the head coach of Grand Canyon. Terry Morin and the crew, the women will be out on the McCracken court tonight. Don't forget, 7 o'clock tip, Indiana, Purdue, Fort Wayne, and then David Glass in the zone. Lots more to decipher from last night's game. They'll join you 6 o'clock tonight.
And as we wrap things up with the Hoosiers in the Large Apple, when you take a look back, the good was when they got punched, they punched back. That was encouraging, but you just saw a team that the punches they took, Joe, weren't on the chin. They were in the body. And about 10 minutes ago in the second half, it looked like they'd been hitting the body enough times where they were just a little bit out of gas. And they didn't get a lot of lift off their bench in the second half. I believe there were 18 bench points. 14 of those were scored in the first half. So, again, that's just – You went into the second half doing 2 things, no bench help, and you didn't shoot it very well. And against a team that's as good as Louisville, and when you don't rebound and you're not getting stops, 94 points, that's tough. So It's not hard to figure out why Indiana lost the basketball game last night. Their sophomore class of Troy Williams and Stanford Robinson combined for, let me see here, for 33 minutes, and they had 8 turnovers. And, again, those are guys who have been on the road, who have been in this gym before. You played there last year against Connecticut and Washington, and those are the guys that had 8 of the 19 turnovers. So that's almost half from two of the most experienced guys. I'll give the freshmen a break. They're not used to this stuff. They're not used to perhaps the speed and the bright lights and everything else. But when you've got some guys that have Troy started 32 games, Stanford played 28, those are guys that you expect more out of.
Well, and Yogi had his bright moments and bad moments, and he struggled with his shooting last night, 4 of 10. And
seven rebounds and 5 assists, Joe, that's pretty decent from a...
We're not going to be able to win consistently the glass when we get in. This was a miniature look at what the Big Ten is going to be about, and I think Louisville's probably stronger, if not stronger, than a lot of clubs in the Big Ten. But, we can't win with Yogi pulling in 7 rebounds and leading Indiana in rebounds.
Nope, you can't do it.
And I'm sorry.
Yeah, and as you touched on, Perea gave you a couple, gave you a good half there, and he got his couple fouls. You know, at some point, what are you saving him for? We haven't seen any big second halves from him, so at some point you think, well, just roll the dice with him. He's hot. He's playing okay. Leave him in there and see, try something different, because play him 4 or 5 minutes, he comes out and he gets, 2 or 3 dunks and has...
Well, he misses one shot on the night glass, and he, and I'm like you. I mean, we're talking about only playing 7 minutes in the second half, so he picks up that third foul. You got to remember, Indiana still had the lead, and picks up the third.
What do you save him for? The last 10
and
minutes
then
when you're
Chris
down
15? Jones, and then Jones and Rozier start to make things happen in the way they go.
There's no fear at the basket, and you saw how many points Louisville had in the paint. Emmett Holt's a nice player. He's going to grow up to be a very solid player, but there's no fear factor of taking the ball in and laying it up or penetrating. And how many dunks did Montrez Harrell had 40
8.
Dunks last night.
Yeah,
100 dunks.
Yeah, plenty.
But so that was the whole thing. So I think at some point you just got to leave him in there and take your chances, because going small didn't help. At one point in the zone, at the back of the zone, we had Zeisloft on one corner and Yogi in the other with Blackman and Johnson out front.
Yeah.
And that's why you're out-rebounded by 18. That's why you're out-rebounded on the offensive glass by however many that was. I've lost count. But again,
18.
Things to learn and grow on. It'll be an easy one against Grand Canyon. Then Indiana will get another test after Christmas back at the Garden with Georgetown at noon on Saturday. Butler's crammed in there somewhere. That's a week from Saturday, isn't it?
Well, Butler's the 20th.
20th,
I think.
Yeah. So that'll be another physical test on. That's more system basketball than Louisville. They've got room to improve. Joe, great job as always.
All right.
Enjoy your nap on the flight home, and we'll get caught up with you on Friday morning live for a preview of South and Southport.
All righty. We'll be home soon.